Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty well.
Me as well. I'm excited about our guest today. They say that one of the ways you can judge the merit of a society or the goodness of a society is by how well it takes care of its children. Have you heard that?
Of course.
We don't always do such a great job, and one of the guys making a difference in that, or attempting to make a difference in that, is a brand new project that started up in Chicago called the Organic Schools Project. And there's a gentleman who founded it out there named Greg Christian, and he's working to help in the, you know, this is its. School lunches are a topic we deal with all the time, and he's working to make a difference in Chicago school lunches by bringing healthier foods into the schools. He's starting with three schools. He's working within the confines that are there, the parameters that are there, working with corporations to try and make a difference in our kids' lives. I'm excited to talk to him in the next segment of the show.
You know, Francis, you talk about history, and ironically, I was talking a little bit to my wife and my son this morning about history and peoples over time, and how very frequently in history you've had kind of two cultures growing at the same time, where you have one culture that focuses on the academic and civilization, and you have another civilization that focuses on warring and being the great power. My concern?
Yeah.
The civilization that focuses on warring and being the great power almost always defeats the civilization that focuses on intellect and being a great civilization.
So you're worried that Sparta's coming?
I'm worried, exactly. That's exactly what
I'm worried about. Evidently, this is going to be an egghead show full of historical references to ancient Greece and... Actually, let's bring it down to a little more contemporary. Did you read in the news recently about yet another chemical that we're loading ourselves up with?
Of course, I read in the news recently. I wept as I read the article.
This from the Star Ledger, Tuesday, March the 6th, by a woman named Amy Ellis Nutt. It seems as though a plastic ingredient used to line many kinds of food and drink cans may be poisoning pregnant women and infants. This is like a little article in the bottom right. I don't get. Brittany was on the front on the top, but this was on the bottom right. This is a study commissioned by an environmental policy advocacy organization called the Environmental Working Group. Cans of commonly eaten goods such as soup, fruit, vegetables, and soda were found to contain more than 200 times the acceptable level of bisphenol A, the study says. BPA is a plastic resin that's been linked many times. Over 100 peer-reviewed studies link it to a host of health problems, including breast and prostate cancer, infertility, diabetes, obesity, and asthma. Other than that, it's fine.
And we're allowing it to be in at levels over 200 times the acceptable level in things like... Oh, nothing really that we could be concerned about. Baby formula, things, you know, little things like that.
It's used in the linings of metal cans. It's been used since the 50s and the 60s, and it's used to make, like, plastics for bottle tops, water pipes, even dental sealants, right? But they've known that in high doses this stuff is bad for you. But what they found recently and pretty conclusively is that in low doses now, you know, so the dosage that's problematic is 1/200th of the time of the amount that you find in common canned foods. Check this out, Mark. Did you know that like 17% of the U.S. diet comes from canned foods?
That's creepy.
Remember, even if you don't eat canned foods at home, you go to a little restaurant, go to that fast food restaurant, or go to a restaurant, you're getting food out of a can.
Sure,
so don't
absolutely.
Think because you don't open a can in your own refrigerator, in your own kitchen cabinet, that you're not getting canned beans, canned soda, canned
soup. But let's face it, most of us eat something out of cans. I mean, in my pantry right now, there are cans of things, beans or what have you.
Yeah, not mine.
Yeah, there's nothing, but there's actually no food in your house because you don't eat in your home, okay?
Yeah,
Bachelor man.
And the beer is in bottles. Well, here's what the working group did. They took 97 canned foods from major. They bought them off the supermarket shelves in Atlanta, Georgia, Oakland, California, and Clinton, Connecticut, to get it from around the country, and they were tested for the presence of BPA. They included 20 of the 40 canned foods most commonly consumed by women of childbearing years. Half, or almost half, of the 97 cans, the BPA dose in a single serving from that can was 200 times greater than the government's traditional standard for safe level of exposure to industrial chemicals.
And infant formula is one of the ones to have the highest levels of BPA.
More than 100 peer-reviewed studies have found BPA to be toxic at low doses, some similar to those found in people. Problem for those people. Right? And there's no federal oversight over the chemical. The US FDA examined the issue in 96 and estimated the canned foods, that's when they estimated the canned foods make up 17% of the US diet. But at the time of the review, the FDA, which is notoriously not doing very much these days, refused to set any guidelines. So there's no governmental food standard, no drinking standard, and no limits on BPA in consumer products.
Even though we know it's poison. Even though we know at certain levels this is toxic to your body.
Pete Myers, CEO of Environmental Health Sciences, which publishes an daily online newsletter, which we'll link you to at our website. He said it's good that we finally have hard data on BPA in U.S. canned goods, and but the problem is the findings are troubling. So it's good that we know that we are poisoning ourselves, but why don't we stop?
I'm all for that. I did a little research on this because I read this article and I was like, I just can't believe that we're just ignoring this. And there are so many studies. You know, originally one of the things that bisphenol A was going to be used for was an estrogen replacer. But they found things that were more potent estrogen replacers. So
I don't even want my kid to have a mild estrogen replacer.
I'm like, are you kidding?
Unless she's lacking estrogen.
You know, a woman by the name of Beverly Rubin published a study in endocrinology, and one of the things she wrote is the levels of bisphenol A that are used within the range that is estimated to be found in humans, she says. Last year, the Center of Disease Control and Prevention reported that 95% of Americans excrete at least 100 parts per trillion of BPA in their urine.
And that's higher than you would want to have.
Great. It means we're getting rid of some of it. I mean, I guess that's a good sign. But, you know, the body's processing it. But I just can't believe that there are no regulations on this. This is what
the FDA is not protecting you, ladies and gentlemen.
And it's getting into us. I mean, we know for sure that is entering our bodies.
Yeah, the FDA is not protecting you. It's the FDA is staffed by food industry, you know, professionals and lobbyists who then go and run the FDA for a while, and then they go back and be lobbyists for the food industry again. Your best choice is to buy as much of your stuff as you can in whole products.
You know, you talk about the FDA. There's a professor of biology from the University of Missouri stated also in one of these articles, Fred Von Saal, and one of the things he noted about a year ago in an article that he published is that he examined 120 papers on BPA. Of these, 109 found effects on experimental animals from low doses. Okay, they found effects that were, you know, in violation of what the recommended safe levels are. But then he also reported that 11 studies that were funded by industry, well, they found no effect.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
The 11 studies founded by, so 109 out of 120 papers found effects on the experiment.
The ones that weren't funded by the industry.
In low doses too. We're not talking about like those saccharin tests from way back when.
It's a shame. And it's a shame.
It's wrong. It's just wrong. And we need to fix it. And we need to fix it fast. And we need to change the way this country runs and the way this country is governed and the way our foods are governed. Okay? Because I'm tired of, mass-produced foods that spread E. coli across the country.
You know, I agree, but I don't think it's going to happen soon. So in the meantime, take care of your kids, eat whole foods, know your local farmer. We'll be back in just a moment.
Let's talk to Greg Christian about ways to change that.
We'll go one step at a time, one kid at a time. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. Today, our guest is Greg Christian. Greg is the founder of the Organic School Project. Inspired by the successes he had from introducing an all-organic diet to his children, he decided to team up with schools in Chicago to improve the health and well-being of, well, even more children. The Organic School Project teams schools with organic farmers and not only brings good food to school cafeterias, but it also works to reconnect children with their food source.
Greg, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's nice to be on the show.
Man, this sounds exactly like the kind of thing that we are so into. Other folks have done similar projects trying to bring good food into school cafeterias around the world. Of course, you know about Jamie Oliver and Alice Waters from Chez Panisse here in the United States. What kind of success are you meeting in Chicago?
Well, I have a subcontract with Chartwell's, owned by Compass Group. I think that's a miracle. I'm embedded in the system, which is key to my project.
Now, that's different than most other projects. Compass Group is the contractor the contractors that provide the school lunches are often portrayed as the villain. Well, and frankly, they often are the villain. But you decided to sort of work within the system and work with the contractor rather than just diametrically oppose what's going on there.
Yeah, that's the key part to the project. I mean, you know, we have gardens in the schools where the kids are going to reconnect with the earth, and we start feeding in our first school in April, all organic food. I wrote the Cadillac food policy in America, where it's going to be 25% by weight local and 75% by weight organic, and on and on and on. A very cool food policy. We're doing nutrition education and mindfulness, teaching the kids how to relax. But to me, the key is to work within the system, because the healing will come, express elevator version, from the big companies. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little different than Jamie Oliver, who made one-sided documentaries making them look like the villain. I question your remark that they are the villain. I think that they do what they're supposed to do. Compass gets 92 cents to make a hot lunch. They need about 50 of it for management, soap, and disposables, or 40 of it, excuse me. We're going to be left with a little over 50 cents. They're left with a little over 50 cents to make a hot lunch for a kid. And if I gave you 50 cents, you couldn't do it, and Alice Waters couldn't do it, and Jamie Oliver couldn't do it. So if that's the case, and I'm not right about this, it's just what I think, then I'm not interested in a project where I start with three schools and then I roll it up to, 10 schools in 5 years. That model, that charter school model, works for some. But I'm interested in express elevator healing, and so that can only come not from a new company, not from a chef. We could help, but it's going to come from the Marriotts, the Aramarks, the Compass Groups of the world. They're the ones with the buying power, the distribution, the brains. And now I think if they stop having to defend themselves, and they don't have to around me, then we show that more positive foods, I'm not going to use the word healthier because they get all nuts over that kind of language, so more positive foods, and the kids do better in school.
Well, here's my question. Yeah. If you've got basically 50 cents a kid a day to spend on a hot meal.
Yeah.
And we say Jamie Oliver can't do it, and we couldn't do it, and an executive chef couldn't do it. How are you guys able to do it, and how are these corporations that have the current contract able to do it?
They're not going to be able to.
Okay.
They will only be able to serve pumped, the politically correct word is fortified food to hit the nutritionals. It took us so long to figure out how to hit the nutritionals with more positive foods.
Uh-huh.
It was almost impossible. So they won't be able to do it with foods that aren't fortified. And so the healing could come from the USDA giving more money toward the federal breakfast and lunch program. If that doesn't happen, they won't be able to do it.
I mean, let's just think about this logically, okay? And as anybody who looks at what you spend for your kid for lunch or dinner, if you spend 50 cents on a meal for your kid, you can't really provide them with anything. You can't buy an apple,
right?
And stay within a 50 cent budget. So I think it's part of this issue here is the, I'm going to say, unrealisticness, even though that's not a word. of the federal government thinking that, that if we lay out this very paltry amount of money, that this is okay. And I, Francis and I aren't really for raising taxes and you know, those kinds of things.
Feed my kids.
But you know, there are priorities, and school lunches have to be a priority somehow, some way in our system.
But my question goes back to, you know what? Why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back, because I want to delve into more exactly how we deal within these parameters in just a moment. Our guest again is Greg Christian. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:24.
The place, Brooklyn, New York, post-World War II. An Italian-American woman named Catherine Lombardi cooks for her family. What's so special about that? Well, lots. Food was central back then. Good food handed down from the traditions of two countries. Food that filled the whole house with the sweet smells of garlic, tomato, and basil. No matter when you stopped by or who you were sure to be fed and fussed over. Catherine showed her love on the plate and out of the pot. Any who were lucky enough to receive it never forgot. This is Mark Pascal from the Restaurant Guys radio show and Stage Left. I've just opened Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, and its mission, to live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. So come by the bar, sit by the fire. Have some fresh mozzarella and antipasto. The matagat and tortelloni are amazing, and the veal chop will make you cry. Our wine list, of course, without parallel. We've got to live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. You see, Catherine Lombardi was my grandmother. Come let me show you where I came from.
Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, 732-296-9463 or CatherineLombardi.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest is Greg Christian. We're talking with him about the Organic School Project in Chicago and the state of school lunches there and the lessons that we have for school lunches across America. And comes down to a basic question of how much do we value feeding our kids and making sure that all the kids in America have at least one hot meal a day. Now, Greg, we talked about the constraints of there's basically, when you pay the staff, you pay management, you pay for dishwashers, you got about 50 cents a kid to provide a hot meal. And it can't be done to provide a hot meal that meets all the nutritional standards at 50 cents. So how do the schools that are working with the Organic School Project, how are they going to do it? Is there extra money going into those schools? How's it working?
I had to start a not-for-profit, so I have a 501c3. And I'm raising money, and I'm gonna do my three schools with outside funds from foundations, companies, and individuals. And I'm gonna hunker down and not go to any more schools with the not-for-profit Organic School Project. And because I need like a little over $1 million a year to do this project in the three schools, so it's a ton of money. And then what I did was to satisfy the logical, intelligent mind, to satisfy people with whether it worked or not, is I have a team of doctors from some pretty respected hospitals that are going to evaluate. They're going to evaluate all kinds of things, the obvious ones, waistlines, weight, grades, attendance, and then the not-so-obvious ones. We're going to be evaluating mindfulness. Do these kids learn how to relax themselves? We're going to evaluate nutrition education. Do they, you know, now know what a tomato is? Do they now know the pyramid? The pyramid is something that, you know, I personally am not attached to, but the people in the know, in the government, the legislators, they're going to, they talk food pyramid, so I'm going to talk their language. And so that's how I'm doing it.
And you don't think you can accomplish that with French fries, ketchup, and a multivitamin? that's not going to be the way?
If I could, I would. Believe me. And so how I'm going to roll out the food in the beginning is I'm going to serve the exact same food they serve now, except all organic, made from scratch. So if they eat pizza on Mondays, they're getting pizza on Monday. You know, Ann Cooper, you know, she just recently got her butt kicked, the whole school signed a petition saying, you know, we want her out of here because, you know, they're doing roasted carrot pizza, and these kids are so disconnected. Roasted carrot pizza sounds good to you and I, maybe, but, you know, and Jamie Oliver's had a lot of backlash, too. We need to honor these big companies and these kids. to start, I think.
Let me weigh in on that. I don't feel I need to honor the big companies. I mean, I feel I need to honor the kids. I feel I need to honor the
parents.
Well,
I think what we need to do is we need to get them to participate.
I think they must be
participants in this process.
Let me finish my point. That doesn't mean I don't think we need to work with them. But a corporation is a group of people who pooled their money to hire some people to help turn their money into more money. And they're neutral. I think a corporation is neutral. We as a society need to hire that corporation to say, we don't want you to just do the basic bare minimum. We want you to do a little more than that. We need to break for the news. We're going to come back and talk more about the Organic School Project and what exactly they're doing out there with Greg Christian, the founder of that project in Chicago. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Capital Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Our guest today is Greg Christian. He's the founder of the Organic School Project, a very interesting project in Chicago, which brings together organic food into the school system and is teaching our kid more about our kids more about foods, hopefully.
Greg, you know, we started to talk about this a little bit in the last segment, and it's something we really need to talk about. And actually, I think Francis and I, one of the few really high-profile food topics that Francis and I may differ on a little bit. One of the things you're doing is you're bringing large corporations into this whole dynamic. You know, Alice Waters is growing a garden in the backyard, and large corporations don't really have a part of her edible schoolyard program. There really is no large corporation involved with that. How are you involving large corporations in your mission?
Well, having the subcontract with Chartwell's owned by Compass is huge. Have they given me any money today? No. But for them to give me three of their contracts up, you know, a company like this doesn't play. And Chicago Public Schools gently asked them to consider it, and they agreed. So another way is FSP, the current Catholic school feeder in Chicagoland that makes 70,000 meals a day, is making my entree. They won't let me bring raw protein into the schools yet, so I have to bring in the entrees, the organic entrees made off-prem, and they're going to give me their labor for nothing. So they're not a huge company, but they're a current feeder, and they want to learn from the project. And so they said, we'll make your entrees and not charge you any money for the labor. I've invited and will continue to invite the soda companies, the crafts of the world, the Aramarks, to participate financially and let me, you know, share the results with them. They know, and they're always going to know, that after the doctors evaluate and they say what worked and didn't work, I'm not going to sneak up on them and say, see, I told you so, you're killing the kids. We have to, this is my intuition, and I'm not right about this, we have to, though I have to, I'll talk about me, make sure that they know that they don't have to defend themselves around me. If we think that a new food company, a fourth big feeder in America, is going to be born and serve food for 50 cents or 75 cents, that'll be more positive foods, you know,
they're going to do the same job that we're getting already.
I'm looking forward to meeting that company. So, you know, the bottom line, the end game, I'll go to the end. The dream is that the lunch program gets plucked out of the USDA's fold and goes to and has its own agency, you know, that includes not just feeding but gardens. Kids won't eat new food, even if the money comes, guys. And now the Chartwell Thompsons and the Aramarks of the world have another, you know, 30 cents a kid a meal. They won't eat it. They won't eat it. They're so disconnected. They need gardens in every school.
Mm-hmm.
It's gardens that doesn't have to be Alice Waters' version of a garden with arugula and whatever. That's great. But it has to be something so the kid sees what a tomato, how a tomato comes to be, or any vegetable. Then they get it.
But what do you do? Okay, you're in Chicago. What do you do? I mean, your growing season is June to September. I mean,
yeah, the reconnection takes, I did it in 5 weeks with high school kids. The lead obesity doctor in Chicago had lunch with me a couple years ago from a very respected hospital and said, I can forget about anyone past, like, pre-K. If I don't start with pre-K, there's no way that they'll change. I took high school, 14 high school kids, you know, one with a baby, people of color, a nice mix of Chicago high school kids for 5 weeks, dropped them in an organic garden with a farmer. I cooked with them weekly. 5 weeks, you couldn't imagine the transformation. They got it in five mm-hmm. weeks. So I don't need the Cadillac garden for 3 months to reconnect kids with Mother Earth a few weeks, and they get it. And if we hit them with clean food, nutrition, education, some mindfulness all at once, it's not that hard to get them to see another way, and then they're going to bring it home.
Let me clarify a little for our listening audience. Some of what Greg is talking about, you may not realize it's a conversation we began before the news, is that some of these programs that aim to bring good and healthful and healthy and tasty food into the schools are being met with resistance because kids today are so disconnected and they're so used to processed. They'd rather have the processed frozen.
They'd rather have a chicken McNugget than a piece of chicken.
And right. And so if you put all this great food in the schools and the kids don't eat it, or in some cases the parents have protested because their kid doesn't want to get their chicken McNugget, or they want their kids to be able to have what they want, which is chicken McNuggets and pizza, you have a problem. And the way Greg is coming at this problem with acceptance is to reconnect it with kids with where food comes from, but also to introduce these more healthful versions in forms of food that they already know. And I think that's pretty admirable. But I want to go back to the corporate issue for just a moment because – again, I say that, yes, what we're asking as a society, you know, we want to say, well, cut the taxes, and if we have 92 cents a kid is what we spend to feed our kids lunch, that's not, you know, what a civilized society should do, and you shouldn't expect anything but a Pop-Tart. But, you know, the idea of what corporations work within the parameters of what we hire them to do. And if we say, listen, I don't care what you feed my kids, just get them something hot and you got 92 cents, go. So, yeah, I think the funding does need to come. But I think that also the corporations are culpable.
They need – well, and they need to be governed.
And they do need to be governed. And I also think that, Greg, the stuff that you're doing working within, the reason that I feel that these corporations are have an ear to what you're trying to do is because they see the writing on the walls, and because the Shea Panisses of the world, the Jamie Olivers of the world, are going into the halls of government where their money comes from and saying, you know what, let's shake this up. Those corporations aren't spending our money wisely. They're not doing the right thing for our kids, and we need to change what is asked of the school lunch program. So I think we all have a role to play in changing the consciousness of what it is we want to feed our kids.
Well, that's where I came up with the honoring and blessing. And that's the last piece. It took about 6 months of solid morning meditation to figure out the missing piece. And here's when it came. I realized I've been cooking for 25 years. I own a fancy catering company in Chicago, Greg Christian Catering, and a not fancy one, Get Me Greg's. And I've been cooking for a long time. I learned how to cook in New York City, went to a fancy chef school, and I realized one morning, wait a second, I have something to do with our current situation. For over 20 years of cooking, I had no idea where my food came from, and I didn't care. Mm-hmm. I wanted tomatoes at 8 o'clock the next morning at this price, this ripeness,
right.
Period. Or I had 9 other guys that wanted to sell me that tomato. So I, fancy chefy in Chicago, contributed to our current factory farming practices, our current way of being disconnected from the earth. And so once I own that, I had something to do with this.
We all did. I mean,
we all did.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's easier for people to point fingers. Here's how we're trained, by the news, the media, our parents, whoever. It's their fault. I had nothing to do with this. And so that doesn't work for the big corporations because they do what they're told.
Right.
You know? I think. I mean, factory farming 30 years ago, a big burger joint turned to the beef guys and said, I need beef at 10 cents a pound. And the beef guys said, we can't do beef at 10 cents a pound. And the big burger giant said, great, we need beef at 10 cents a pound. And the beef guy said, we're going to get you beef at 10 cents a pound. So that's how it got to where it's at, because we wanted burgers for a buck. So to reverse that, it's not. It's going to come from that same system.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to come from Chef Greg in Chicago. I'm a cook in Chicago.
Right.
You know.
Well, and I think it's got to come from the people listening, and from not from just what you're doing, but the message you're sending to the kids through the media, to the kids through their parents, because the corporations do respond to what we as consumers demand.
But I also think that consumers, we've got to continue to educate consumers, and we've got to continue to educate parents. Okay, my mom had no idea that, you know, the honeycomb that she was feeding me in the Fruit Loops were as detrimental as they were for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
She had no idea that the canned soups or whatever else had the problems that they have,
and had no idea that the milk that you bought wasn't the same milk that you had always bought. The changes happen quietly, you know, and you know, I think that actually, Greg, I'll differ with you in one sense. I think that the consumer on the street is less culpable than the corporation who demanded the beef for 10 cents a pound. It's a matter of who has more power has more culpability. That's where I stand on this. But boy, are we getting egg-heady for this show. We're going to take a quick break, and we come back, and I promise we'll be a lot more fun. We're talking with Greg Christian of the Organic School Project in Chicago, and you're going to find out exactly how it's working out there in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1145.
Let me talk to you about lighting, and specifically about how you can enhance the appeal of any space. Lighting is a powerful, emotional, and aesthetic force. It's one of the most important elements of design. More than anything else, it sets the mood and tone for an entire experience. A room pops or it doesn't based on lighting. Lights on 9 is a top-notch commercial and retail lighting supplier. Lights on 9 supplied all the lights for our award-winning Catherine Lombardi restaurant, inside and out, dining room and kitchen. Lights on 9 has everything from tasteful and stylish chandeliers to table and floor lamps, to outdoor lighting for illuminating a building or walkway or a sign. At Lights on 9, the service is exemplary, expert, and knowledgeable. They ship anywhere in the continental United States for free. Their retail store is in the Galleria Shopping Center on Route 9 in Manalapan. They're open 7 days a week. Call them at 732-308-9166. That's 732-308-9166. Or visit them at lightsonnine.com. That's lightson9.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today is Greg Christian, and the founder of the Organic School Project out in Chicago. It's a very important project. It's a new take on this very important topic, and if you want to find out more about it, you can go to our website, restaurantguysradio.com, and we'll link you to more information about Greg Christian and the project as it stands in Chicago. Greg, one of the things that I think is very interesting is how you came to organic food, and your first experience was with your own children. We want to tell us about that and how you came to the beliefs you currently have?
Yeah, my youngest daughter was a bad asthmatic. She's 14 now. Her name is Britha, and she was born, you know, she was a sickly kid. Real bad asthma, the nightmare asthma, the intensive care for a week at a time asthma. And we were just at our wits' end. She was a full-time job for my wife, and constant hospital visits and hospital stays. And we just threw our arms up when she was about seven, and my wife said, we're going to go all organic food and all, you know, Eastern medicine. The last doctor told us that we had to give her steroids every day for 5 years, and then she'd be fine. So we weren't willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, to my wife, you're the primary caretaker. So we went all organic and alternative medicine. And now, fast forward to now, she's in high school on the field hockey team, playing sports year-round. Her asthma is not cured, but we haven't been to a Western medical doctor in about 7 years.
Wow.
And so I saw it in my own home. And for years, my kids would come home and tell me how they didn't like the food at school. They brought their own lunch every day, but they saw what other kids ate, and they really questioned it. And I didn't care. I had my all-organic food at home, and I was working on accruing fame and fortune as a chef in Chicago. 3 years ago, I stopped drinking, and they told me I had to replace it with something, and I thought that was a bunch of BS until I realized I did have to replace it with something, and the Organic School Project came out of really out of meditation.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, Greg, there's a school of thought out there of allergists who believe that we all operate certainly or at with certain allergies, and not all our allergies operate the same way, but with certain allergies that we all have a threshold, and each and every one of us have a different threshold, but that we have this threshold. And depending on the number of things that we are allergic to, which may include pesticides and may include some of the ways that we grow our foods and plan our foods, that once we reach that threshold, almost anything will set us over, will tip us over as far as allergies go. And it certainly sounds to me like your daughter's living proof of that.
Yeah. It's a blessing that my wife decided to go this route, because, you know, it's the worst to be in, like, an intensive care unit and have some power, like, at least in my industry, and be powerless. It was a bummer, you know? It was a bummer.
That's an understatement. But, you know, it's funny. Well, Mark, when you talk about going organic, or when you talk about buying local, when you talk about having food that's less touched by machines and more, you know, there's more of a short line between the source of the food production and you, and you get it from a farmer that you trust that doesn't use a lot of pesticides or subtherapeutic antibiotics or hormones to increase growth or milk production, you'd be killed by a thousand little cuts. You know, it's there's so much stuff that goes into your body that you have no idea, and it's a little bit here, it's a little bit there, it's a little bit in the preserving, a little bit in the growing, a little bit in the antibiotic to keep the animal healthy. And, you know, just the idea that, yeah, it's all a little bit, but what happens when we take it all in the aggregate? If our food is as processed as most of our processed food is, no one knows how those chemicals interact. You know, it's funny.
We're starting to learn, unfortunately.
One of the growing fields in medicine, one of the things that pharmacists worry about all the time now is, with the growing number of drugs out there, keeping track of how drugs interact, as we get especially older people that are on a cocktail of different drugs, how they interact and can have, you know, geometrically dramatic effects. Well, isn't that the same with the food that we eat? You know, a little bit of pesticide here is acceptable. You know, we're just in the acceptable level of hormones in that, just the acceptable level of preservative in this. But who knows when that's in all of your food, how it all comes together? I mean, do you subscribe to that view, Greg?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the most positive food is food that's, you know, hand-planted by, you know, in hand-tilled soil and hand-weeded, hand-watered, hand-picked, hand-washed, hand-cooked, and eaten. And the further we get from that to, you know, genetically engineered seed, machine planted in machine tilled soil, machine sprayed, picked, machine cooked, frozen, microwaved, you know, over and over and over again, we don't know what's going to happen to us. I honor the convenience that modern that we have, and sometimes it's necessary. But if we eat too much of that, some of us, you know, like my daughter, can't take it and is ill. So, you know, I see, you know, a burger giant in 10 years, you know, if anyone can hand grind grass-fed beef when you order your burger, it's going to be one of the big chains. Now, is that dreamland? It's kind of dreamland, but it's kind of not. If we're not positive, see, positivity is my main capital. I have a lot of intelligence, and I can talk about this kind of stuff for a long time with a lot of people, but I'm positive that the change is coming, and so that helps me respect the big corporations. I don't necessarily have to like them, agree with them, or join them. But
we can fear them.
No,
I'm sorry. I'm kidding. I knew where you were going, and I'm just a guy from New Jersey. I can't be that positive. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. Stage left and Catherine Lombardi restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey, and our guest today is Greg Christian, the founder of the Organic School Project. Greg, there's been something on my mind for a couple of segments. We talked before, the well-known statistic is that for the government school lunch program, it's 92 cents is provided per kid per meal. When you take out overhead, that winds up being 50 cents per kid per meal that goes to food. How much, if we get a corporation involved, works on a big scale, but they want to buy responsible food and they want to provide our kid food responsibly. Now, of course, you can't know this for sure, but what's your guess as what we would have to spend per kid per meal What does that 92-cent figure need to become in order to be sure we're giving our kids healthy food?
Let me interject for 1 second, and also factoring in the fact that many of our schools no longer can cook on-premise, that right. We're going to have to retool the schools.
Right. I think another 30 to 50 cents a meal. These people buy trainfuls of food when they buy. They tell the farmers what to do. Mr. Purdue doesn't figure out what to sell a chicken for. He's told what he can sell his chicken for by these big companies. The farmers do what they say. Totally. People miss that point. So 30 to 50 cents is my guess, and they can do some really cool, less processed, less fortified food.
You know, the interesting thing about that is, and they've shown time and time again, and I know your project's going to be studied very carefully by a team of experts, but they've shown in charter school systems where this has happened, they've shown in England in the public schools where this has happened, that kids, even in troubled schools, when they're fed a better diet, their test scores go up, their absenteeism goes down, the cost of running the schools overall, it's a wash, people, it's just a wash.
Right.
And Greg, I'll tell you, where I'm in the same camp as you is, if we tell Purdue that we'll only accept organic chicken, Purdue's going to make organic
chicken.
You'll
have it tomorrow.
Except there's a guy in a Purdue truck following us around. Like they're gunning for us, Mark. I think maybe you out there in listener land need to do it, because Mark and I have a target on our back. Hey, Greg, thanks for coming on the show.
God bless you guys.
Thanks very much.
It's been super to have you. Greg Christian is the founder of the Organic School Project in Chicago. You can find out more about it at organicschoolproject.org. We'll, of course, link you to that. And Greg's private businesses, if you're out in Chicago, there's great catering out there that you can have as well. We'll put all those links up on our website, restaurantguysradio.com. Hope you've enjoyed the hour. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.